Episode 487, June 22nd, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
What's up, everybody? A little late tonight if you're in the live show. It was super crazy lightning in my house, but here in your place, Joe, 20 miles away, nothing at all.
It never rained. It looks like it might. I pulled in all my cushions.
Oh, look at you.
I know, very responsible. Yeah. Katie's going to be happy with me. She actually just got home from getting her nails done.
Congrats. Is she singing or talking
her,
to someone?
Yeah, we can hear her if she...
Very Oscar, loud.
Oscar.
She... the guy who was doing her nails apparently loves the game Doom, and that's how he thought he was going to woo my betrothed or whatever.
And
my talk. Well, she's leaving me now. No, she was asking Tommy and Justin and Eric to tell her about the game, so she would have something to talk to him about.
If you're a single guy these days and you had to impress a woman by saying something you're interested in, what would it be?
I would say...
Jordan Peterson.
I would definitely say that I work for the...
No, not what that you work for. This is a
I'm
hobby.
Interested in
this
the Ravens.
Doom.
By the way, I do the pregame. No, I mean, that's...
Okay, but this guy's hobby is Doom. It's not what he does for a living.
Right, but if I was trying to impress... You're asking... I mean, how do I separate that? You're asking me how I would impress a woman. I would impress her by fooling her into thinking I'm famous.
No, that's cheating. I want to say... This guy is not claiming that he made the game Doom. He's just saying this is my hobby.
Right, but if he was
You could say I love football.
But if he also was on television talking about video games, he would lead with that. This is all he had.
Right.
I know what you want from me, but it's hard for me to separate that.
Well, no, you would say you love dogs. That was what you would say, Joe. That's the answer.
I would definitely show a picture of. Right. Oscar boy, yeah, and yeah, any girl would like that, sure.
Yeah, you might want to drop some band that you like.
I don't think I like any bands that people would like now. I like Sturgill Simpson. Is that a cool person
to
like?
Sturgill. It is.
Most people know who that is.
No.
I like Lil Dicky.
There you go.
Do people like,
yes,
him?
Yes, you're a fan of Lil Dicky.
I think they...
Well, welcome to the show. I got back to comedy this week, and something happened to me.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about that next break.
Yeah, I just want to tease it real quick. Something happened to me that's literally never happened to me in 22 years on stage.
And it's so huge. They're calling you from 98 Rock tomorrow to talk about it, right?
Yeah, it's gone. We'll get to it in a little bit. But yeah, it was
the only people
crazy.
That are going to get an advance on that are the people that are listening live right now.
Good for, they deserve it, which means they also deserve us to talk about everyone's favorite person connected to the Rob and Joe show, and that is Gramps.
I thought that's where Robbie would play.
So did I.
The plug.
Yeah, sorry.
Here it goes. Hey, hold on.
This segment brought to you by Making Podcasts Great Again, starring J.L. Covan as President Trump. Follow them on Twitter at TrumpPod and listen via all your favorite podcast platforms.
Robbie's going to edit that so he nails it.
Of course.
Yeah, but I want him to. That's fine. Edit it so you nail it. Matter of fact, when you're listening to us say this right now, understand that what you just heard is not what happened live. So if you're listening live, you get a different thing. Now, first of all, is Gramps in chat right now? He is. Good. That means he got his computer fixed.
Nice.
We talked about that. And I remember we talked about him taking it to the Geek Squad, and Robbie called me and said it took 2 hours. Is that correct?
He was on the phone with a guy for 2 hours. I said, Dad, so was there a virus? What did he do to fix it? I don't know. I said, 2 hours, Dad. You don't know what he did? No, he told me to click here. I clicked there. He told me to click there. I clicked there. 2 hours. I know what that guy went through.
What do you think, just guessing, that should have taken?
Half an hour.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with Dad, though, right?
It does in a way because
he's got to help him navigate, and he doesn't know anything. We just determined. You know, my father, we talked about this last week, but this is difficult to do. I'm pretty sure my father doesn't know how to find pornography on the internet. I'm positive he doesn't.
He doesn't know what a browser is.
Yeah, so he doesn't know how.
Well, if he can't find Google,
right,
then he can't find anything, really.
Like, if you send him a song, he'll take the link, and I don't even know how he figured that out, and he'll put it on his desktop so he can just click on that.
Right.
He's always telling me, hey, my Twitter doesn't work anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, what he means is the link that he dragged to his desktop, they've changed the address.
Right. So he has to drag a new link. He can't type Twitter in his browser and get
it. And that's what I do. I go in there and I type Twitter, it comes up, and then I make him a new thing on his desktop.
You put a new, are there just links all over his desktop?
All over his desktop.
How does he know? Do you rename them? So he's like, this is a Don Williams song. This is Twitter. Is that what you do?
He doesn't rename them. They're just there.
This is like HTTP /a million
characters.
This is
Walker Hayes Instagram.
Yeah. Anyway, so I call up my father because I want to have lunch with him on Father's Day, right? But again, my father is in his 70s, his late 70s, so I want to be respectful of what's going on in the world because, you know, in spite of, you know, how I feel about the danger of this virus, it is dangerous to my father.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't want him to get that. So what I said is I go, hey, Dad, me and the boys are going to go to Mi Pueblos in Severna Park. Would you like to go? He's like, who? I said, me and the boys. He goes, who are they? I said, Joey and James. He's like, oh, okay. All right. It was longer than that. I'm doing myself a disservice by making it that easy.
Do you think Mi Pueblos threw him off?
We're getting there. So he goes, well, let me ask Tish if she wants to go. Now, I don't want Aunt Mom. I don't want her to go because she's also ill, and so she shouldn't be there. But I go, no, 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 no. And as soon as I go, no, 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 he leans over and he goes, Tish, you want to go to the park with the boys on Father's Day? I go, Dad, no. He comes back and goes, she doesn't want to go. I go, Dad, we're not going to the park. We're going to Severna Park, right? So I go, we're going to Severna Park but we're going to a Mexican restaurant.
If anybody doesn't know, Severna Park is a city in Maryland.
Right, it's a city,
it's
right.
It's not an actual park.
And I go, he goes, hey, Tish. And as soon as he says, I go, no, Dad, I don't. He goes, and then he goes, you want to go to eat lunch? And he goes, she wants to go. So, of course, now I can't uninvite her in spite of what's going on. So now she's coming. It doesn't matter. Now that's going on. So Robbie knows this. He goes, all right, well, just text me the address. Now, of course, it's like, God, everybody in the world other than my father, just Mi Pueblos, Severna Park, in any browser, Firefox, Explorer, Google Chrome, Bing, whatever the hell you want to put it in. And
does he have any GPS on his phone?
He does, okay. Right? So I have to. Now, the other thing is, once you type the address on the smartphone, you can just click on the address.
Yes.
So I go in there.
Max in chat, by the way.
I know. Max always defending that. I go in there. I get the address. Now, by the way, you can't copy the address because it's a link. When you So I'm okay, 123 Ritchie Highway. Type everything in. He goes, I send it. He sends back. He goes, what's the name of the place? So I'm whatever. And I never say a word. I do all this, right? Mi Pueblos. So now they're all coming. We're going out to eat. We're going to Mi Pueblos. That's what happened. Okay. Anyway, it ended up that for whatever reason we had to eat outside on our deck, but that's not the point. So
you got to go?
We got ended up ordering food. They're having it brought here and we ate outside at my own house. But anyway, my father texts me the day before and he goes, hey, did you get my email? Now I look at the email and it is the virus, the jerking off virus from last week. If you didn't listen to last week's show, actually stop listening right now. Go to about minute, 15 and listen to our conversation with Gramps where they tried to extort money from him because they claimed they had a video of him jerking off. And they really asked the wrong person. In a million years, he couldn't get that, nor would anybody watch that video. But, hey, Robbie, do you have a clip? Because I believe I said three times, do not send me that email. I'm pretty sure I did. Because I made a joke. Actually, I'm not going to say it. Robbie, do you have the clip? Can you play it?
Yeah, 22
play
seconds. Here you
okay.
go.
Oh, if there was a video of Chris Restivo jerking off, 100%, I would watch it. I would watch it. Matter of fact, Dad, can you forward me that email? We'll send it to Chris Restivo. I'm just kidding.
He's into the cryptocurrency.
Don't forward it, Dad. You're somehow going to screw up and send this guy.
Just forward it directly to Chris Restivo. You have his email.
He's not going to. Don't even attempt to forward an email, Dad. I don't want you doing that. Okay, so.
So the last thing was don't even attempt.
But I made it as clear. I shouldn't have made that joke.
Yeah, that was a
mistake.
Because
as soon as my father heard, hey, this is content, everything else was blurred. I literally begged him not to send forward this email to me.
You still have it?
No, I deleted it, right, immediately, although now they have all my information, right?
The question is, why didn't Dad delete it like I told him to?
Well, here's the, it continues. Okay. So my father says to me, he goes, did you get that email? I go, Dad, I wasn't going to give you any crap about this, but you shouldn't be forwarding emails from people from foreign countries trying to extort money from you. Now they have my email. You understand? they're sinister and they're intelligent. And now all this stuff is a way to get, now I'm in the spider web, right?
You get the whole family now.
Why do you think when you get an email, it comes from a name that you know? They have your contacts. You don't want them to have this. So instead of my father, who knows nothing about computer, nothing, he can't remember, he can't Google something. He still defends it. Like, he won't. He goes, what do you mean? How could they get your email? I go, Dad, you know nothing. Why are you even arguing with me? You don't know anything. Now, even in the chat, he's still saying, I'm not sure what the problem is. No, I know you don't know what the problem is. That's why I said three times, do not forward me this email. So, meanwhile, and by the way, unlike my father, I'm sure I've jerked off in front of my computer a million times, right? So, I'm not really...
isn't as empty with you. What is Mac Bergson
saying? Mac said, crap, now Robbie is in on the act of attacking Gramps. Joe, you can't extort what one doesn't have. Mac, I have $2,000. Stop. I have it. Anyway, but Dad, Gramps has always been that way. He's a very good arguer. So, it doesn't matter if he has no expertise in the area at all, meaning the worst. Nobody knows less.
Right.
He'll still say, no, of course. Why would that be a problem?
Do you argue the most with Gramps out of all his children?
I don't think I argue with him. I think...
Because you like to argue.
You say that. I don't like to argue.
No, you're good at it.
I'm good at it, right.
People like to do things that they're good at.
But I don't use hand soap, Mac, when I... Anyway, whatever. So here's a call real quick. Sorry.
Gramps says... I'll rub one out.
I went to the deleted email and forwarded it. Okay.
He saw it.
Then he said, I thought he asked me to send it. Well, of course, we just played the clip where three times I begged him not to send it. That's okay. He didn't. He only heard the joke the three times that I tried to nail home, don't forward it to me. But just so you'll know, Dad, you then have to go into your deleted emails and delete those. Although I smell a rat here because deleted emails, they leave your email, deleted emails in Gmail in 30 days.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
So I don't know, Gramps. That doesn't sound... But whatever. Well, that's fine.
His email box is not set to clear in 30 days, but I think it was less than 30 days anyway. But you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that that email is gone.
It's also now in his sent items, and he doesn't even know what that
exactly,
means, right?
So
now it's in his sent items. It's in my... it was already sent to me. It was in my... Whatever. It doesn't matter.
I'm curious if Gramps will answer how frustrated was the Geek Squad guy getting.
Yeah, we'll give him a chance to answer that. But
because that had to be, you had to have some patience to get through that. Now, used to that to some degree, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, obviously, but my father would know how to turn on his computer.
The problem is turning it off, not turning it on.
No, it's also getting him to hear you clearly. That's the first hurdle.
That too.
Yeah.
I mean, you said Severna Park. He's lived here his whole life, pretty much. He thought you meant a park.
Yeah, I hear you. Yes, you're right, he has.
There was a lot of, what now, what? There was a lot of that in the conversation, the 2 hours.
Oh, that poor kid.
Can now, we, I love my father.
I would love to get that kid on the show, though.
Oh, my God.
If he has his name.
Yeah.
Gramps, do you have the Geek Squad kid's name?
He deleted that. He won't forward that.
He'd killed himself. He's not alive anymore. Now, I love my dad. He's awesome. I did say, I can't say this, but I did say something to him yesterday. I go, you know what? You can't repeat this, Dad, and you can't forget that I told you not to repeat it. Like, it was very important to me, and I believe I'm probably lucky enough that he doesn't even remember what that was, so that's probably good, too.
Did you get him a Father's Day present?
I didn't. I got him, actually, it's funny. I got him a card, and I got him lunch, right? Mm-hmm. And I paid for lunch, but I actually didn't. Katie did.
Did you get Frank a Father's Day present?
Katie did.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and I don't know if she put my name on the card. Katie's name was on the card to my father.
Are you supposed to get your father-in-law a Father's Day present?
I don't know, but you know who did get me a Father's Day present?
Hello?
My mother-in-law.
Okay.
She got me a cigar, like one of those holders where, like, if you carry it around, you keep 3 cigars in it.
She seems like someone who likes to give gifts.
She loves to give gifts.
Yes, it's a good quality.
She got me a T-shirt, and she got me a gift certificate to Davidus Cigars.
Oh, nice.
So now I have plenty of cigars, but I like things, the accessories.
Sure.
So I'm going to get some lighters and things like that.
Did your actual sons get you anything?
No, they didn't get me anything. They came and they ate, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, they didn't even get me a card.
So they actually... they got the fruits of this holiday.
Yeah, and my oldest son...
he makes a good living.
He makes a good living, and he's not even have to go to work right now.
Yeah.
So he's sitting at home. He's earning. I mean, he's not spending any money.
So he has the money and the time to do some shopping online to get you something.
So here's something interesting. My sister is setting up my oldest son with a girl that she works with.
Okay.
Okay?
Now, he's the least social of the two.
Hold on.
Is that
Mac,
fair to say?
Mac asked me a question, and he asked
Mac's just upset about crapping Mac. All over you in the chat.
Davidus. It's a cigar. Sorry, guys. A cigar store. So
Mac's in the cigar business. Can we say that?
I don't know. I don't know why we couldn't.
Right.
But anyway, so she's going to set this girl up with my son. They seem to be compatible, right?
That seems like a horrible idea.
Well, it usually is a horrible idea. It usually is, right? Because all relationships but one fail, and actually one or all of them. Sometimes you never have a relationship that works. So the odds of you setting somebody up and then them working out, what is it, 5%?
Yeah, sure.
Probably lower than that, yeah. Right? So anyway, so they said, let's set them up. Well, she gave her each other's numbers or whatever, and said, you know, see what happens. So they started having a conversation. Of course, my son makes a good point. He's like, that's fine, but eventually the conversation has to get to, let's go out and get together.
Which is more complicated these days.
Right. At this point, you're like, well, I don't know how somebody feels about the idea of being around somebody that they don't know, and also somebody that's willing to just go hang out with somebody they don't know, right? Then you'd think that they might be careless about what... who knows?
But also takes the pressure off, if there is some, about, you know, a kiss, goodnight, stuff like that.
Right. That's true. If there's
Which
pressure
that
there...
might be
that
something...
was never pressure for me. I was like, how quickly can this happen so we can go on to whatever comes after that, right?
Right.
But anyway, but he's right. He's like, well, you know, it's difficult because I'm running out of things to say.
Are they just texting? Or
yeah, they're just texting, but at some point,
of course,
the conversation ends. You're like, hey, remember me from the other day? Here's something funny. Here's a funny GIF or whatever.
There's only so many emojis.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, so he actually made a little bit of sense.
Well, why don't they come out to Magoobie's Joke House this weekend to see Tommy Cimbazzo?
You know what? That's a good idea.
Huh?
I might not ask him that. I'm going to ask him that right now.
There you go.
All right. Hold on. You can talk. I'm going to let you know what he says.
I was thinking about this the other day because you were talking about him getting fixed up. I believe I've only been on one date in my life.
What do you mean?
Like,
you've been on one date?
Yeah.
You've had more than one girlfriend.
But we've... But I met through comedy or something, so it was like I've never... A date to me is somebody you didn't know first.
I don't know. You know somebody, you go, hey, let's go see this, and it involves the potential for romance. It's a date.
Not if you've known them for a while and hung out.
Okay. So you meet Tawanda. You met her at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, I believe.
Well, I met her. No, she came. I met her at the Columbia this comedy night.
Then you got her number.
Yes.
What'd you do the next time you saw her?
But is it a date? Her coming to see me perform? That's not a date.
If you
she's coming to my job to see me work.
Hold on.
A date is us out. And by the way, she brought her girlfriend. And
I got you.
She brought a date.
You met her.
Mm-hmm.
You exchanged phone numbers.
Yes.
The next time you went out with her, you said, hey, I'm going to be at this place. Why don't you come out and see me? Is that correct?
Yes.
I don't know. It's not, well, eventually you
fine,
had to.
If we're counting that, it's two. That doesn't seem like a
that's
date.
That's technically not a date.
Okay, fair enough. But eventually, she wasn't your girlfriend then. Did you ever go out to dinner with her? Did you ever go to the movies with her?
Yes.
Did you ever do that before it was official that this was your girlfriend?
I mean, I felt like every time we hung out, she was coming to a show, and then we were dating. So, I mean...
come on. It's not possible what you're saying. Did you go out to eat ahead of time? Did you meet her before? Did she stay for both shows? Did you go out after? Those are dates.
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's not in the traditional sense, hey, you want to go out to eat? We get to know each other, which has happened to me once.
Yeah, but you did have... I find it hard to believe... That all she did was attend your shows, and next thing you know, she's your girlfriend. That doesn't even make any sense.
No, I'm pretty funny.
You are funny.
I mean, obviously, there was probably, I don't know. I mean, it's been so long, but I felt like she'd come to shows, we hang out after, and then eventually we were just dating.
I think that if Tawanda heard this conversation, she'd be like, what are you talking about? Remember when we went to the blah, blah, blah? And remember we went to see blah, blah, blah. And we went to that party at my friend's house. And remember we... And they'll all be dates.
Okay, but to me, a date is we're basically strangers, like Joey is.
But that's not what a date is.
Okay. Or you meet someone at a bar, you say, let's go out, then you go out to eat.
Yeah. So Katie and I, we went out.
That was a date.
On
even
a date.
Though you brought people.
We did. Then the next time I saw her, it was a date. Whatever we did. I think the next thing we did was went to a comedy show. That was a date. Then the next time I saw her, and I don't remember what it was, maybe she came over to my house to watch a movie, date.
But I'm pretty sure Tawana and I, almost every time we hung out in the beginning, had to do with me at a show.
She's probably like, God, is this guy ever going to ask me out on a date? I have to keep watching
I don't
him
have
work.
Enough to say for a date.
Yeah, you do. Right?
I don't think so.
You don't think you could?
No, I can
the
fake
one date
it. But
you had.
But to want to.
The one date you had, how'd it go?
Well, it's not with Tawanda. I don't remember those. The one I had?
Yeah.
Mac has an important question.
Go ahead.
He wants to know how many dates she went on with Kwame Brown.
Yeah, how many times
probably
she went
more.
With Kwame. Yeah.
The one date I had, we went and saw Blade in the theater. I think we went out to eat. We made out in the car.
That's good.
And then I believe that I talked to her on the phone, and she talked about wanting to have kids. Uh-oh. No, she talked about that on the date, marriage and kids.
She did?
Yes. And then I talked to her on the phone, and I yeah, that's it.
What was her name?
I could not tell you her name.
So as soon as she said, oh, I'd like to get married one day and have kids, you're like, oh, well, good luck with that. And that was it.
Well, it seemed like a lot to bring up on the first date.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's intense.
Yeah.
So whenever Blade came out, I don't know, the original Blade.
90s?
Yeah. So whenever that was.
Benchwarmer said two things which are true. He said, you're dating until your boyfriend, girlfriend, you're dating. So if you're dating, whatever
I didn't say I wasn't dating.
But whatever you do when you're dating is a date, okay?
Okay.
Which I guess by definition. So then he said, you made out after Blade. You went and saw Blade and got so worked up. You guys were making out.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I'm a Blade 3 guy, but whatever.
Blade was a darn good movie. I mean, you saw that in the theater. You were happy with your decision.
I don't remember.
That opening
I definitely
scene
didn't see
with
Blade
in the nightclub
theater.
With the blood coming down.
I definitely didn't see Blade in the theater.
You missed out.
I think we've been going on too long. I think we need to take a break, and then we need to come back, and we need to talk about the opening weekend for Magoobie's Joke House. In midst of this crisis, we hit phase two, the club opens up, and one of the comedians is Rob Mayer.
Be right back.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers, and as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Two shows, Saturday, September 5th, at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Robin Joe Show.
Can you also explain some of the names in chat, Joe?
Oh, sure. Here we go. You have, first of all, you got some of the heavy hitters are here. Obviously, Benchwarmer, Miggity Mac, right?
Classic.
We also have Gramps, of course, Robbie, Baby Eater. And then we have Andy Boma, who was the guy who my father thought sent him the email that threatened the jerk off. Hand sanitizing neighbor. Oh, that's when I shook the neighbor's hand. Yes. Too soon. Okay. 55 week itch is always, yeah. Joel Righty Haas.
That's the guy that would record shows.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because he only had one hand, yeah. And you said his name.
Yeah.
Larry Poon, whose name I said as well. Oh, man, there's a lot of people in chat. Lori and George, those are my neighbors.
Yeah.
Lori and George. Euripsy, I believe she's on BAL. I think she's currently doing middays.
Uh-huh.
We talked about her. And then the other rest of the names, Cool Settler, Joyful, I'm going to go through all of them. They're the automatic names. But, yeah, those good names, guys.
Nice. Well done. So the grand reopening of Magoobie's Joke House, which I had actually emailed the Rams head in Annapolis about doing a show, and they were like, no, we can't be open yet. And I was like, well, Magoobie's is. And she's like, how are they doing that? So I got all the... He got a letter from the county. He did everything he had to do. So I told them that. So hopefully the ball will get rolling.
Oh, yeah, good.
But it's the opening weekend. Myself, Todd Fleming, Larry Lancaster. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Very first show. The first show of the week. The first show back in 3 months. All the shows were, you know, they were lightly attended, which was understandable. People have to get used to going out again.
Well, there was a lot more. I went the next day. There was a lot more people than you said there were the day before.
Yeah, I think, you know, yeah. We're happy with the opening. So, it was a successful weekend, all things considered. But there was a couple stage rights, I would probably say mid to late 20s, somewhere in there. And he seemed pretty drunk. And I had a little back and forth. I thought some playful, good-natured ribbing, nothing... Too
I think
harsh.
I remember exactly what you said. You asked him a question. He didn't answer. His girlfriend nudged him, correct?
Well, I'd asked him his name because I do this joke about the different phases.
Right.
My name can be Rob, Robbie, Robert, Bert, Bob, Roberto. So my life can change. My name can change with it. So I asked him what his name was, and he looked very confused. He goes, huh? And I go, what's your name? And he still couldn't answer. And I was like, sir, this is the easiest thing I could possibly ask you. And then his girlfriend said, Ryan, and then I made a joke about him being high or something. I might have mentioned that he was on meth or that he's done meth, but whatever. It seemed pretty tame. Anyway, I go back to my set, and the set's going pretty well. Pretty fun set, actually. And I'm right towards the end, and I hadn't looked his way or said anything about him in at least 5 minutes.
Right.
Or referenced any of our previous conversations.
But he probably is over there stewing. He's probably just a guy who's an angry person, agreed?
Yes. Well, from listening to the people behind him later when I talked to him in the lobby, he definitely was stewing.
Oh, he was mad that you embarrassed him.
Yes, and calling me a gay slur to his girlfriend.
He called you a gay slur.
Yes.
Well, you're not gay.
Unbeknownst to me. No.
Slur or not.
I'm not.
You have a girlfriend, even though you've never dated.
Exactly. Zero dates. So, out of nowhere, he stands up. He goes, fuck you.
You weren't talking to him at this
not
point.
Not talking to him, not looking at
happened.
Him, not referencing him. So, I'm like, what? He goes, I will fuck you up.
And you said.
I'm like, what are you talking about? He walks on stage.
Right.
So now he's on stage. I will fuck you up, motherfucker.
Right, right.
I'm like, what's the problem? So now I'm backing off.
Right.
I'm like, security.
Right. Of course, there's no security.
And then I realize this is like a low staff situation.
Yes,
There is no regular bouncer
no,
there.
No, right.
And the crowd, this is a social distance world we live
right,
in.
Right, right. Yeah.
They're
nobody's
not
near
too
you.
Eager.
Yeah.
So I'm like, security, nothing's happening.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I'm resigned to the fact that
you're probably going to
have
to fight this guy.
I think I'm going to have to fight this guy.
Right. And he doesn't look like the kind of guy. He doesn't sound like the kind of guy that even if he wins will allow it to end quickly.
Correct.
He's probably just going to pummel you for several.
Right.
Was he a scary guy?
Well, he wasn't a big guy, but he was a thin guy, but he's probably a little muscular. But he
well,
was
willingness
just,
is yes. half the deal,
but
right?
he looked had crazy in him.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. That's you got a distinct yes. advantage if you're willing to...
Yeah.
Be hit.
And he's been in fights before.
Right.
And I've been on more dates than fights.
Right, right, right.
So I'm about to resign myself to, oh, I guess this is happening.
Did you have the mic stand in your hand?
Because
I would have kept that. And
no,
I
was
used
to
it
my
weapon.
Left, so I was walking that way.
Right.
And I wasn't, like, I've been heckled before, obviously, and I'll have a back and forth on
sure.
the mic.
Even but if somebody gets angry. I've had
right.
somebody get angry, but.
But I wasn't intact. I wasn't trying to. Further this.
To be on stage, that's...
Right. So suddenly I see a black guy from the back walk on stage. And then I realize, as he gets closer, that it is the headliner, Larry Lancaster.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Lancaster.
Right. Now, he wasn't there before I got on stage. He had another show earlier,
right.
so I hadn't even seen him
Luckily,
yet.
Luckily, he was watching.
Yes.
How far into your set were you?
I was right towards the end.
Good, because Larry yeah. wouldn't have been there otherwise.
You're exactly right.
Right.
And even he said, we talked afterwards, he's like, yeah, when I first heard that, I thought it was you doing a bit or something, because it came out of nowhere.
Right.
And so he takes him, and he's gentle with him. He's like, come down, sir, calming influence.
Right.
So now they're walking back. He's leading him out, but you walk right in front of the stage.
Right.
And he's going, you ever come to Jessup? Because I'm from Jessup. I've been locked up. You come to Jessup, I will fuck you up. Says the N-word.
Right.
Now, Larry's black, just in right. case you don't know that. And Larry's still calm. Now, at
right.
this point, this is the first time I say anything back. I say sarcastically, well, that's really going to get the crowd on your side.
Right.
Because half the crowd is black, by the way.
Right.
And he goes, I'm white. I can say. And again, says
right.
the word.
That's actually not. That's the opposite of the
right.
rule. Right.
And the crowd's like, what? So they take him out.
Right.
I hear him in the lobby. At this point, Andrew, the owner, has come out. And they finally escort him out. Then the crowd's like, you handled that great. And, you know, because
right.
it's a small crowd. It's very
You're actually
conversational.
Having a conversation
right.
with them, right.
And they're, like, clapping. And then I basically say, you know, I've done a lot of things in my career, and I list some accomplishments. But the highlight of my career is having someone like that hate me.
Right,
give
right.
an applause break. And then I say, I'll be performing next week in Jessup. Thank you. Good night.
Right. You were able to. See, I don't know. I might have been too rattled to be funny at that point, if I'm being honest. So good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I think I even said, you know, tonight, if you'd have told me that there was going to be an argument with someone in the crowd with what's going on in the world, I might have thought maybe it wasn't going to be a white guy yelling at me.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been locked up. I wonder, did you speculate?
No, I think Larry came up right after and talked and had some jokes. I think Larry's been a correctional officer or something. So he said, he basically said, look, guys like that, you show them that you're not afraid and they tend to back off. He handled it beautifully because when the guy starts saying the N-word, it wouldn't have been crazy, especially with the tension in the air
yeah,
these days.
That,
if Larry didn't just start kicking his
yeah,
ass,
yeah, right, right,
it wouldn't
right.
have been like, people would have been like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Or at least forcefully pushing him out. Now, his girlfriend was trying to calm him down and stuff, but...
Well, she also... I don't like her already because she's dating this guy.
Yes.
She clearly makes horrible decisions,
right.
so, you know. What do you think his version of this story is? This punk motherfucker thought he could shit on me while I was there. I don't let anybody talk to me that
yeah.
way. I walked right up on the stage.
This motherfucker making fun of me? You think you can make fun of me? You think you disrespect me? That's his version.
What's funny is he's like, you come to Jessup, I'll kick your ass. I go, well, why would I come somewhere right. to get my ass kicked? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean.
That makes absolutely no sense.
No, thank you. I'll just skip it.
Matter of fact, I'll drive around Jessup. It's a tiny little town. Although you live near Jessup.
That's true.
It's going to be hard for you to never go there.
But it's crazy because here it is, the first show back. And it's immediately there's this, you know. And you don't want that. You want an easy, seamless, we're back doing comedy.
It's the opposite
again.
Of easy.
Right. A stress-free.
Yeah.
Andrew's like, oh, what the hell is happening?
And then you had another set.
Yeah, then I had another set right after.
Were you like, I better not fuck with these people. I've had a bad recent run.
It's funny because I talked to people in Wits, the bar connected, in between shows, and I told them what happened. I was telling the bartender they were coming to the next show. And so I sort of warmed them up by telling them that story.
Oh, that's good.
Because half the crowd was in Wits earlier, so I sort of did a pre-show for them before my set.
Well, that's good.
My second show set, where I met the couple that I'm trying to get married at our murder mystery.
I was there the next night, and it was a good crowd. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't packed, but, you know, I mean, there were people there. Yeah. We were up in the third row, so at least the first, we might even have been in the fourth row. So that means that the floor, the next row after that, had people in it.
Now, right.
Tables are further apart, but, you know, it was, and Katie and I were in the next row after that, right, trying to avoid the two drink minimum. but anyway, you actually had a fucking great piece of crowd work, right? So you were asking the same thing. By the way, the same joke that got you in trouble the last time.
Yeah.
You said, what's your name? And one guy's name was Robert, which is also your name, which is the start of the joke. The next guy said his name is Omar. Okay? Now, we're in Baltimore. This guy's name is Omar. And then you went to another joke, and you said, are you a good lover? And then you go, when you are getting ready to orgasm, do you say, Omar's coming? Okay, clear joke about The Wire. Everybody's seen The Wire, but even if you haven't, the people in Baltimore have. And even if they haven't seen it, they know who Omar is because he's one of the most iconic television characters from one of the most...
20
years.
Right,
of course, yes. And you didn't get anything.
Just you and Katie.
Me and Katie were the only ones laughing. And I was fucking pissed off, and so were you.
Yeah, I was.
And then you went on for probably the next 5 minutes about how fucking dumb the audience was.
Yes.
And I really actually enjoyed that. Your set was really good. I really had a good time. Thank you.
The second show was probably more fun for me. They actually laughed. But, you know, I was in Virginia Beach once in that bar, Keegan's. It's right next to the club. I was in there one night a few years ago and talking to these two white guys, and they asked where I'm from. I go, I live near Baltimore. They go, oh, Omar coming? So they just said that, you know, because they just related Baltimore to The Wire.
Of course, everybody, yes, everybody knows. By the way, basically, what, one-third of all crime shows are about Baltimore?
Right, exactly.
And this is the greatest of all the crime shows?
And that was like a perfect storm of crowd work. You couldn't set that up. Like,
right,
it could only happen if this just organically happened.
Yeah, and a lot of things happened that you were lucky to have
exactly.
happen. Like one guy's name was Robert, then the next guy's name was Omar, and then the next guy's name was Robert.
Yeah.
So everybody was laughing about that, and then you're like, oh, here I am with this perfect fucking joke. It's never going to be, I'm never going to have another opportunity to get exactly where I just got.
And he was there with his girlfriend. So
yep.
I could tie
yep.
it together. Yeah.
Yep. And then they're like, no, we're not interested in that.
But it's good that they open back up. Hopefully they'll you know, Tommy will be there this weekend. Do you have you don't have the clip of me plugging that, do you, Robbie?
Oh, no, sorry, I do not.
No, it's okay.
He did have the clip of me telling Gramps 3 times not to send me that email.
I closed the show saying, come out next week, Tommy Cimbazzo headlining, Chris Restivo featuring.
Oh, yeah, no, I was there. Yes. I heard that.
Right.
Yeah, I loved it.
Hello.
But Andrew was talking about that. There's the way they might start doing, you know, tickets from now on. So a lot of these clubs is selling by table because you want to encourage four tops. So you sell a table for like $80. So even if you're only two, it's $80, but then you're not sitting with anybody. So it's to discourage just couples. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but the room isn't filling up right now, so I feel like that would be a mistake. You don't want to deter anybody from coming, right? There's plenty of room. Now, once it gets more, once people want to come out more, then that makes more sense, right?
Yeah, because right now you're not going to get sat with strangers anywhere.
Right.
Which is pretty typical at a comedy club.
Sure.
If it's just two of you and it's a packed show, you will be sat with strangers.
Yeah, I think about that because, you know, in the improv seat's $285 and you can't even hardly walk through the crowd. What are they going to do?
I don't know. DC is real. They're pretty far behind in terms of reopening things. But I think it might take a loan for a lot of these places. Now it's complicated because if you're the landlord, you're not, who are you going to get to go in there? No one's going to.
Yeah, you're stuck with them. So, and I get that. It's almost like I'm not going to pay my rent, but what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, what, fuck me? I have no revenue. I mean, yeah. I can always, you can sue me, but I'm a corporation, which I could just bankrupt myself and then you're done, right? You can't get it. So
and you're not going to get anyone new to go there, which is zero income.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, people get, listen, the idea is, it's almost like, you know, baseball's going through all this. Somebody gets fucked.
Yeah.
Somebody does. And there might be somebody who's a billionaire who gets fucked. I think as a society, that's where we are. You know, fuck them. The people that are creating the jobs, as long as they already have $1 billion and they're the entitled, fuck them. I get that. Like, I understand. I get it. But there's no such scenario where no one gets fucked.
Of course not.
So people are going to get fucked. And if you don't open, then you have to not have the people that are at the lowest rung don't have jobs.
Yeah,
if you do open, then you're not going to have the revenue that you would normally generate from that. I mean, it's bad all around.
No, restaurants can't survive at 50% max capacity.
Unless that's where you are. I eat at Poke Bowl in Timonium, and every time I go in there, there's no one in there. They're fine.
That doesn't mean they're making money.
I don't know how they. I swear their food is so good. I hope that they have some illegal side gig so they don't close because it's important to me that they don't.
That's what we need to save us. Every place has to be a drug front, laundering money.
When I went to see you, I said to Katie, "Can we go to Poke Bowl?" She told me no. She doesn't like Poke Bowls.
But it was good to get out. It was good. Eric Woodworth came by. It was good to just shoot the shit. You know, the staff obviously missed those people. It's felt like a normal night out, normal weekend for the first time in 3 months.
Well, Eric brought up a good point. Like, he's like, if I was there at your show, he would have gone up there and prevented it from escalating.
Yes.
He would have done what Larry Lancaster did.
Yes.
But this week, with Tommy Cimbazzo as a headliner, if that guy were to walk onto the stage... That would be a very big mistake that guy was making.
Big mistake.
Yeah, because Tommy is a fighter flight kind of guy, and he's more of a fight. And if, Eric said if that happened this week, he'd probably have to pull Tommy off the guy.
Well, Tommy also probably has a knife on him at all times. Where I've never had a knife on him.
Not probably.
At any point in my life.
I've never seen him without one, yeah.
Right.
How else is he going to stab somebody? No, I'm kidding.
But hey, I don't know when my next gig is. I know when it's supposed to be, but who knows? I'm supposed to be in Des Moines, Iowa with David Koechner in July, but who knows?
Well, I'm vacationing in Ocean City next week. I think we're not going to have a show, so here's a little letting you guys know. This is how we're letting people know. But then I'm out again at the beginning of August, but we're going to get a fill-in for that week. And let's take a break, and we'll talk about the... prospects.
Cool.
On the other side.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and that's six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Yeah, so the week of August 3rd through the 8th, well, the 7th, the weekday, you're out of town. Where you're going, just with Katie or a whole big family?
Whole family. Her whole family. Side of her family, yeah.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. Where are you going? South Carolina?
Yeah, I don't remember the... She'll know, but I don't remember the
town.
You're
confident everything will be open and normal or close
enough?
I'm
not confident about anything.
You're going either way?
Yeah.
You're renting a big house or something?
Renting a house.
All right.
I don't know if it has a pool. I don't know anything. I'm kind of along for the ride.
You're bringing
you
a mask?
I guess I have to bring a mask.
I don't
right?
know, do you? It's August. But anyway, I'll be doing the morning show all week, 98 Rock, from your house, from here.
All week? You only have 2 days, right?
No, August 3 through 7.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, cool.
You're the one that...
Oh, you know what? Sorry. He sent me a bunch of dates, and that wasn't on there. Got it.
You're thinking of July 2nd.
Right.
Yes. So August 3rd, though, I can just come in your house and do the show, but I should have... Somebody has to fill in for you.
Yeah, and it'll probably be somebody from that we mention on here a lot, either... 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Tommy Cimbazzo headlining next week at Magoobies, or Eric Woodworth, who would potentially pull somebody off you if you were in a fight. Those are the three people that could potentially be in here. Now, of course, that's a concern of mine. Not so much that I would not allow the show to happen, but I know that Tommy's probably the least likely to fuck with me.
Well, it's one thing if they're here, if I'm not here, because they're here with you. But if they're here and you and Katie are gone all week,
yeah.
So
there's a level
we
of
will
trust
fuck with
that
the house
I have.
Somehow.
Yeah, and the next thing, all Katie's underwear is strewn through the house or whatever. Now, every time Eric comes and we have a rehearsal, he just does something. He calls himself the inconveniencer. I'll come in, the air fryer is in the bathtub. You know,
yes,
stuff like that.
Right.
Which that also annoys me because I might just turn the shower on,
the
right?
The inconveniencer.
Yeah, that's it. He'll take the chairs and he'll put them, you know, somewhere else. I mean, it's just...
Right.
But I'm stressed, obviously. I think that to fuck with the house, Eric 1, Justin 2, Tommy 3.
Well, there's something else Eric would do that I think would fuck with the house more.
What's that?
He might bring a certain someone. There's two people he could bring that you would not appreciate.
So I'll say this. I don't know the second. Oh, no, Jeremy, I wouldn't care. But Restivo, Katie would
What's
care.
What's up, man?
Exactly.
Katie would care. And Katie would be furious. So I'm just letting you guys know. That can't be on the table. If Chris Restivo is in this house, I mean, that's no joke. Katie's going to be fucking furious.
If you're on vacation and we send a bunch of pictures with Restivo
laying in my bed.
In your bed.
I mean,
Joe is a fucking loser.
That might end the murder mystery. You know, so you're in charge of that not happening because she will not. You know, in The Godfather, he goes, listen, I lost a son. You lost a son. I have another son. I don't want anything to happen to him. If anything does, that I will not forgive.
So that's, we don't, there's no coming back from that.
If Restivo is even in this house, you're talking about him laying in the bed? No. If Restivo is in this house, yeah, no, my wife is not going to be thrilled about that.
Please.
What if he's in the house, but we don't send the picture for like 3 months?
You have a better shot.
Okay. I just want to know the time limit for this. Okay, so Eric, he won't bring Restivo, but who would you be most afraid of them screwing with your house? Justin, Tommy, or Eric?
Eric 1.
Okay.
Yeah. Justin 2. Eric also, he's the most likely to screw with the house. He's also willing to do the most. Because Justin doesn't want to make Katie upset.
Hmm.
Eric... But she would also...
Justin will be naked in your bed. He will do that.
She won't care about that.
All right.
She'd rather Justin be in masturbating in our bed than Restivo walking in our room and walking right out.
All right. So if you're listening, Justin, you're welcome to do that.
No, you're not.
Robbie, from a producer standpoint, who do you want?
Eric's always really good. But probably Justin, because we've had him on the show.
Fuck
last.
Tommy, I guess. I gotcha. All right.
You know how I feel about Tommy. Tommy's probably the funniest of all you guys.
Jeez.
But...
Well, now fuck Justin, I guess. No, I'm just kidding.
Justin would even say Tommy's the best stand-up of all, right?
Huh.
Who does the chat want to me to bring to Joe's house to be on the show with us August 3rd? They're going to say Gramps.
What?
Wait, ask the question again?
Who does the chat want to fill in for you on August 3rd in your home with me?
Okay, Miggity Max says Chris Restivo, Sarah Simington, Antoine Dotson.
The big
he wrote bottom three.
Oh, Benchwarmer took a shot at Justin. He goes, if it's Justin, be prepared for nobody else being able to talk. Miggity Mac has his top three fill-ins as Gramps, then Tommy, then Eric. That's what
okay.
he has. So I don't know why Justin gets disrespect. He's actually probably because you can hear him all the time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But Justin's the best broadcaster of the three. This is broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But Justin would probably have to leave the earliest, where Eric and I mean, I'll probably spend the night here.
You're going to be on the air the next day? You're going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you probably will. You and Restivo could sleep in my bed.
All right, so no Restivo sleeping in your bed. Oh, that would be priceless. Can we talk about, real quick, about the sticker that Justin saw in his neighborhood?
Yeah, we can. I don't know if people are going to know about this.
I don't. Is that real? I don't even know this.
I think that it is, and maybe we can get the picture on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, but Justin was riding through his neighborhood, and he saw a sticker. Now, here's where you have to see. Jeremy Woodworth dresses up like Pogo the Clown, but that image is not Jeremy's. Pogo the Clown is William Gacy, who was a clown.
John Wayne Gacy?
What'd I say?
William?
Hey, William H. Macy is who I'm thinking of. Right, not great. Anyway, John Wayne Gacy, William H. Macy. They're very similar.
John Wilkes Booth.
Hey, William H. Macy's wife, she's the one who paid off USC or whatever.
Good for her.
Also criminal family, right? Yeah.
By the way, nobody cares about that anymore.
It's nothing, right? Yeah. The other girl said, all right, I did it, finally. Anyway, but there's a sticker. And he's on his T-shirt. It's this image of this clown that I think it's pretty synonymous with John Wayne Gacy.
Yes.
I think it's pretty synonymous with it.
The serial killer.
Right. And Justin saw a sticker, and he thought it was Jeremy's sticker. Which, by the way,
a stop sign.
That logo is the logo in Halloween Whodunit, right, Robbie?
It is.
So it's the same thing. And Jeremy actually said, hey, thanks for using that, because the truth is that Robbie used Jeremy's likeness. He didn't use William H. Macy's.
Right. Yes.
John Wayne Gacy's. Emmett, he didn't use it. But yeah, he saw that on a stop sign. But I don't think the immediate go-to is somehow there's a Jeremy fan in Arnold or wherever. Hey, let Oscar out.
I think Jeremy
trapped himself in here. Go on, Oski boy.
I think Jeremy is stalking Justin.
Well, that's not. You want to go out, Oscar? You want to stay in here?
All right. Well, the show's over. Anyway,
that's
real quick.
Not Oscar. He doesn't bark.
Watch the show must go on, the Queen and Adam Lambert story on Netflix.
Really?
Yes.
Normally when I watch concert movies, I don't enjoy
it. It's
not
a concert movie. It's a documentary on how they came to choose him and find each other, essentially.
Is it because...
Obviously there's some...
Is it because he's an outstanding vocalist?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know...
Who became very popular on a
They performed together on the finale of American Idol.
Well, the keyboardist saw him actually perform, which is funny that guy's watching American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
It's just funny to me that we saw them at Meriwether Post Pavilion.
Yeah.
The first show they ever did together was in, not counting the American Idol thing, that concert. They were in Kiev, 300,000 people.
Whoa.
You know who opened up?
Who?
Elton John.
He opened up for him.
Yes.
Opened up for Adam Lambert.
So Adam Lambert's first time, he's got to step in the shoes of Freddie Mercury after Elton John, 300,000 people. And then 3 months later, they're in 2 miles from Rob Mayer's house. What a step down.
They're in Columbia.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
All right, but watch it. It's good stuff.
All right.
I saw them. A lot of costume changes. A lot of glittery stuff.
Yeah.
So that's Robbie's way of saying he didn't enjoy
it. No, I did enjoy it. It just was, you know.
Here's the thing. I say this all the time. The songs are written. I'm not acting like Adam Lambert is as good as Freddie Mercury, but, you know, he might be very comparable singer.
Yeah.
He's also a showman, obviously, you know.
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
So, The songs are already written. The story's already been told about Freddie Mercury. I'm not going to act like Adam Lambert has never written a song as good as We Are the Champions. I mean, I understand that. He's never written Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't even know if he's ever written a song. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't.
He has one hit, and a Pink wrote it.
Yeah, so what do you want from me? Yeah. So he's got one hit. But if you can go, and they say that about Journey, too, and Journey's catalog is not Queen's catalog by a long shot. No offense to those people who like that turd Don't Stop Believing that you can't stop hearing, whatever. But they found a guy who can sing, who's a really good singer, to sing these songs.
He is a very competent replacement.
But that guy, I don't know him. So the idea of the star power that comes with Adam Lambert, that helps.
Yes.
Because the songs are already there. You're just now fronted by a star, and he also has great pipes. So,
I'm curious is what they pay him, because obviously, with them becoming popular again, more people stream and download their albums, which he has no publishing rights to.
Right, but he gets that tour money, and he's probably a big part of the draw.
I'm sure. Well, look, there's only so many people. When they had the concert after he died to honor him, they had like 8 people sing his songs.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Right, who's going to sing? Yeah, who's going to sing them all. Right.
Yeah. But anyway, I tweeted that Adam Lambert's the best singer in the world. I get all these retweets. None of these people follow me. So apparently just an Adam Lambert fan club got a hold of
it. Did you put at Adam Lambert in there? Is that how
I didn't.
People really love Adam Lambert.
They do. All right. Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.